Welcome to Hair Blazers, the podcast where salon owners and industry specialists share their knowledge. Our mission is to empower owners and elevate salons through conversations about what matters most to you. Many people buy a salon because they are great hairstylists. However, successful salon ownership requires a completely different set of skills, which includes business management and leadership. The great thing about our industry is that everybody has the opportunity to be a leader. Today, we're talking about all things leadership, and I'm lucky enough to have Jodi Ohama here, and she is a leadership guru, a leadership coach. Used to be a salon owner, so a lot of experience with that, and also is a coach with Cunity.
Yeah, you bet.
Well, which is really cool. So Cunity is a company that helps salons and wellness businesses grow and achieve more financial success. So today, leadership, it's your thing.
Yeah.
Where should we even start?
Oh my gosh, Colleen, so excited to be here. And yeah, thanks for having me. I love talking about leadership. So why don't we just sort of jam
around
leadership? Okay.
So first of all, I'll mention, I just threw this at Jodi like an hour ago. Jodi's visiting us right now. And I thought, why not take the opportunity to have you on the podcast? So we're going to wait a little bit, but I think you have a lot of great knowledge to share with owners. And I mean, and also stylists as well.
Yeah, you bet.
So leadership, not necessarily a position.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, I think leadership, you know, what I love about our industry is that everyone has the potential to be a leader, right? I think everyone in our industry influences other people. So I'm super passionate about leadership because it's my jam. I love this whole idea of like, how do we help people unlock their best potential? Yes. How do we just, you know, make things bigger, better? How do we promote collective wellness? All these sort of fun things. So I've loved working with you and your team. So can I throw a couple questions at you, Colleen? Okay. When you think about leadership, what do you, you know, what comes to mind for you as a, like, what makes a great leader?
That's a loaded question. What makes a great leader? I think there's many different attributes of a great leader. I think a leader needs to be authentic. I think they need to like walk the walk, and it's not just like managing people and saying this is what you need to do, but also being the person that's gonna be the essence of what you expect other people to be as well. And caring, like you need to care about people. You cannot be a good leader if, you know, you're most concerned about yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I love this. I love hearing these words, you know, like the authenticity, the truly caring about people, the being a role model. Yeah, absolutely. How did you, you know, I've had the pleasure of witnessing you in action as a leader. How did you learn how to be a leader? Like, how does one actually learn how to be a leader?
So we hired Jodi. Partly. But I think being a leader, like, it also takes practice. And you need to grow as a leader. You could be a great leader in the moment. But, I mean, if you don't, you know, read books and hire a coach and learn how to be better, you're going to be stagnant. And, you know, that those leadership skills that you had at that one moment in time are not going to take you through the future. Things change. People change. The people that you lead change. So you really have to be able to change with them. And I think that's a huge struggle right now for a lot of, and I don't want to throw a lot of salon owners under the bus, but people who have been in the salon industry for a long time and have kind of like that old school mentality. And it's like kids these days. And it's like, they're not going to change. So you might have to do the changing.
Yeah, you know, that's a great point. It's not even just our industry. You know, I coach a lot of executives when I'm coaching with the school, but it's the same in all industries, right? Mm. It's like if anyone is stuck, any leader is stuck in that old school mentality and looking externally and saying, well, they are doing this or they, then you're not going to be a really effective leader. Really, leadership does start with each of us. So, and yeah, you're right. Like, how does one learn to be a leader? Oftentimes it's through trial and error. But what I really heard you say was this sort of this growth mindset. Mm-hmm. It's like, how do you solve these problems? How can you be solution focused rather than focusing on what's not working, right? I think that's a key piece or key element of being an effective leader.
And it takes time to like get to the point where you realize like, okay, I'm going to like start looking at myself and like, myself, like this is what I've been learning too, is like, what can you take control of and go with that? Cause you can't control like other people. So it's like, figure out what you can do. So again, back to like looking at yourself, and you really, and I don't want to like make you blush or anything, but you really taught me that. Whereas like I could get, you know, you could get frustrated, and I think I'm not the only one frustrated with things just not seeming to click or not seeming to work. And it's like, bring it back to yourself and like, what can you do to like fix the situation? And I think when other people that you're trying to work with see that you're really taking onus or taking control of like yourself, it makes them more willing to be like, oh, maybe I can do that too.
Wow. That's the whole thing. It's like you hit the nail on the head. Like we can't control anyone else. Mm-hmm. Man, our job would be so much easier if we could just say, you know, if people would just do what we ask them to do. Right. So yeah, that reflection, looking at ourselves, not making things right or wrong, mm-hmm. or, you know, that I'm good or bad. Yes. It's just, okay, if that didn't work, what else can I try? What else could I do differently? So yeah, I'm really hearing this sort of growth mindset. Absolutely. Like that is a key element of leadership. I think another thing with leadership, or another important piece for all leaders, is to have a compelling vision, like to be really truly connected to what it is that you're doing. You know, like, what is it that you're trying to create? Where are you trying to move people towards? Right. And oftentimes the work that I do with leaders, they have a hard time
like vocalizing.
Putting it into words. So, yeah. So Colleen, when you think about in your business or the team that you're leading, like really, what is it that you're trying to create?
Mm-hmm. Funny when you said that, right away, I thought, man, it's so difficult to put into words. But when I thought about this a lot, and like, I know for us, we want to create a place where people can thrive. People love their careers. They can grow. They can make money. They make other people feel great, and they can come there knowing that they're going to be part of something that's, you know, bigger than just them, and that their leadership team believes that and really cares as well. And like, for some people, it might be like, oh, I just want to make money.
Yeah.
That could be your vision. Yeah. If that's your vision, maybe salon ownership or leading the people in the salon might not be the answer for you.
Right. Yeah, right. Like, I love that you were so quick. You're like, nope, this is what I'm creating. Like, this is what I'm up to. This is what, you know, this is what you're doing. And, you know, and again, we said earlier that everyone in the business could be a leader, you know, so even if you're a stylist, you still have this potential to influence others. So same thing, like having this vision, like what kind of stylist do you want to be? How are you leading yourself? What is it that you're trying to create? Same thing, right? To have that clear idea. What do you think gets in the way of leaders being able to be self-reflective or to look at themselves and create the results that they want?
I think past experiences is a huge one. Like, people are formed by their past, and everybody's past is different, right? So it's like, you can't expect someone to react to something or a challenge the same way as you would react to something. Yeah. So it's almost like learning that that's just the way it is, or like feeling like you should know something or you should be in a certain place that you're not. Like, I found one of the biggest keys to being able to lead efficiently is to be able to be vulnerable and admit, like, I don't know everything.
Yeah.
I'm going to try, and I'm going to let you, like, I'm okay with letting you know that. And I think people really respect when they see that you're able to be vulnerable. And that goes not just for like people in like when I say leadership, like a management position, but also for anybody that wants to be a leader.
Yeah. And I think, you know, again, and that vulnerability, what you said was like, okay, I don't know the answers. That's a different type of vulnerability than saying like, hey, here's all my problems and blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, like that's not the type of vulnerability that we're talking about with leaders. Of course, leaders still need to be a beacon of hope for others or a, you know, a path forward, to be able to show other people a path forward. So there can't be it can't be this, you know,
emotional release.
You know,
I'm sure that happens,
you know, that's
too.
Yeah, that's another great element of leadership, is this emotional control. Like, how does one, we are, of course, are emotional beings, but how does one really be skillful in managing their emotions and ensuring that their emotions, or that they're not reacting emotionally to what's in front of them? So let's sort of talk about that. Like,
yeah, well, that's a good question. I was going to turn that around on you.
Oh,
you tell me.
Yeah, I think, you know, emotional, first of all, understanding that, yes, we are emotional beings, you know, that we all have emotional responses, and it's not to not have an emotional response, but it's that moment of pause where you can then say, you could choose a skillful action rather than just reacting.
Yes.
You know, it's here's an intentional action. And sometimes being a leader is just saying to the person that you're leading, you know, when I need a moment right now, or.
And that's okay.
That's absolutely okay. You know, I'd much rather see that than someone have to, you know, have a reaction that they then have to go back and, you know, respond to. And
So let's say you have, you know, two employees or two team members that are obviously very different, because that's what happens.
Yep.
One of them is someone who just naturally loves to like figure things out right away. As soon as there's an issue, just wants to deal with it, get it over with. And then you have somebody else who doesn't like to just be reactive in the moment, and they need time to think about it and come back. So I think a lot of people see that in many challenges, with differing personalities. So what would you say would these two people come to you, what would you say is the best way to deal with that situation?
Yeah, it's always about finding the common ground, right? Like, so neither of those reactions are wrong or right. It just is. One person is more reactive in the moment. One person needs more time to reflect or to process or to gather their thoughts. I think if these two people came to me and said, hey, we have a challenge with one another, and they both know that that's the way that they process, it is about, you know, making them both aware that that's the case, and then asking them, okay, well, how might they want to approach this, where it's a win-win between the two of them.
So it's like understanding the other person's point of view.
Yeah, there has to be that. There, like, that's the whole thing with leadership too. It's like, it's meeting people where they're at.
Yes.
Understand, like, taking control of yourself, but also knowing that you're meeting someone where they're at. So oftentimes as leaders, it's not about our needs. Mm-hmm. It's rarely about our needs, right? It's really about meeting that person where they're at. So, but sometimes if it's two employees and, you know, they both feel like their needs are just as important or valid as the other person's, as a leader, rather than triangulate, meaning like rather than deal with one here and dealing with one here, it's like bring them together and like, where's the common ground? How do we work together respectfully so that there is a win-win? In both ways. And
yeah, that makes sense. And that also makes me think of, there's so many situations, and I think a lot of salon owners get maybe into trouble when they're dealing, when you say triangulation.
Yeah. Triangulation. When it's like, oh, this person told me this. Yes. And then this, it's like, oh man. Like, no, like you
bring them together,
bring people together,
like be in there and like be a, you know, mediator or whatever.
Facilitator.
But I think that's a great habit to get into for people that maybe have a challenge right now with that. Cause I think there could be a lot of situations in salons and other businesses where that's a challenge. Yeah. So maybe starting to bring people together instead of having this, like, I'm going to talk to one person and then give it to the next person, like make it a comfort thing. Cause right now it's so uncomfortable for so many people to have direct conversation, make it so it's not uncomfortable.
Try to create that safe space. Yeah. And that's not to say, you know, there are some situations of course where you can't bring people together, you know, like if there's something that's threatening someone's safety, of course, you know, you want people to be able to come to the leader and you want the leader to address that really quickly. But most of the time, I think that challenges could be resolved by actually just, you know, bringing people together and having conversations.
Yes. Can I ask you a question?
Okay,
For new team members, maybe people who are younger on a team, what are some great ways to start establishing themselves as a leader?
Oh, man. I think, that's a great question. There's so many things. The first thing that popped into my mind for sure was self-confidence. Like that, and again, I think it goes back to what I was saying earlier around, you know, knowing what it is that you're trying to create. So again, I think, self-confidence in those newer, in those, you know, people who've just joined your team, really having some confidence on what it is that they do, what is it that they're providing, and being able to do a good job at that. So I think that's the foundation maybe.
Yep.
Communication. So having those, well, two things, communication, like, so having those conversations, asking questions, asking for help when needed. Mm-hmm. And then also that other piece around leadership is doing the right things. You know, it's like, Even when it's hard, you know, it's, And I think going back to the communication too and asking questions, like if you don't understand why someone's asking you to do something or your leaders or your company is asking you to do something, taking the responsibility to find out why, you know, not making the assumption that, oh, whatever.
It's like for personal gain for the company or whatever, right? Yeah. No assumptions.
Like go back and actually like find out the why. Because oftentimes too, if there's not, in a company, you asking why, if there's not a good reason why, they might be like, oh yeah, you know what, actually let's make a change. Or, you know, most of the time though, companies have some pretty solid understanding of why they're doing what they do. Hopefully.
Yeah.
I think so. Hopefully. Most of the time. Yeah. Hopefully.
Anyone that's listening here.
Hopefully you know why you do the things you do. Yeah.
And then with salon owners, I mean, that's the other side of it. There's going to be a lot of salon owners out there that are amazing hairstylists. Like we talked about before, they open salons. It's a passion. What are some things they can do if they're feeling they're having a challenge, you know, converting from a hairstylist to the salon owner leadership position?
Yeah, I remember us having this conversation before. I don't know if we talked about it here in this podcast, but, you know, that idea of most people who own a salon or buy a salon, it's because they're a great hairstylist, you know, and it's a completely different skill set to run a successful salon. Like you could be a great hairstylist, but you may have really poor leadership skills. So it's a brand new skill set that you have to learn. So What was the question again? What did you say?
So like what's a next step they could take if they realize, you know, maybe I either need some work or do I hire someone?
I think the awareness, first of all, that it's a totally different skill set. Just because you're a great hairstylist does not mean that you're going to be a great leader. It does not mean that you're going to influence people or people are going to want to follow you, because that's really what leadership is. So it's just having that awareness. And then looking at your business and asking yourself, you know, are you getting the results that you want? And if you're not, then it is about doing something differently. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that you have to go into that growth mindset. So that means you can, you know, engage with mentors or coaches or read some resources or go to school or whatever it is. But it's that base place is just, you know, understanding that there's some skills to learn. It's not about anyone else. What you see in your business, and I say this a lot of the people I coach and some people, it sort of tweaks them the wrong way, but it's like what you see in your business is a direct reflection of you as a leader.
It is.
You know, sometimes people say, well, no, this person does this. I'm like, yeah, well, you as a leader are allowing that person to be in your business. Or you as a leader have not coached this person to the point where they've left your business or have made the expectations clear enough or given them enough support. Like, it's a full-time job being a leader. So I know that there are some people who listen to this podcast that are leaders or business owners who are behind the chair 5 days a week. In that case, you need other people to be in leadership positions. You need people who are going to coach, mentor. Yeah. You need help. You need help.
You need help.
Yeah. Let's talk about the shift that's happened in leadership in the past decade.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that. You know, leadership in the last decade has changed quite a bit. Before COVID, you know, COVID, of course, and it's weird that we talk about life this way now, like
before and after.
Before and after, but it really did change our world. It created a lot of uncertainty in our world, a lot of uncertainty in employment, like all of that. So it has changed the people that we lead, of course. It's also changed all of us as leaders. Yes. I think that with that said, you know, leaders are really called right now to create certainty as much as possible. Mm. You know, like that's really where I see the leaders who are most successful right now in all industries are leaders who can really talk about certainty. What doesn't change? What are we about? What can we do? You know, where I think leadership in the past, especially in small and medium-sized businesses, was all about innovation and what are we doing differently and blah, blah, blah. And like, that's exciting, sure. But right now, it's actually, there's a shift where our people want to be more certain.
A little bit more stability.
So I think the innovation and stuff should stay right now anyways, is more in, you know, smaller teams, smaller groups, not necessarily out into the larger group.
Right.
I think that's interesting. That's a shift. But also if you just think about the way the world has been in the past, even, you know, leaving COVID aside, you know, leadership were before, you know, me growing up, leaders, we used to get our information and guidance from people who were experts or older than us.
Yes.
Right. And then with the internet, we now get our information through this web. We now, you know, I care about what my peers, like I'm looking to my peers and what they're doing. That's very different. You know, the leadership hierarchy where we had it before, that's not where people aren't going to, you know, an expert or someone who's
there's more know, like sharing experience. Like, and you said like web, like there's the computer web and then it's also like the web of like sharing and
it's networking, this peer web. Yeah. It's like, So there's that, like the way we get our information. Yeah. This web, you know, it's like peers and like learning from one another. Whereas before it was always like, oh, I'm going to learn from that person or I'm going to listen to what that person is. The other thing is there's way more distrust.
Yes, absolutely.
In leadership, you know, there's distrust in politicians, there's distrust in CEOs or big organizations, right? And so that does filter down also into the small business world, right?
So like more pressure on you know, management and owners to make sure, you know, they're being transparent with things. And it's also probably a lot harder on them than before. Like their responsibilities are huge. People are, you know, taking a magnifying glass to what they're doing every day, right? So for them, you know, getting help, they're forced to grow more.
Yeah.
Like getting a mentor, reading more. Yeah. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but you know what I mean?
No, absolutely. No, it's again, that growth mindset, right? Like, you're right. What leaders are asked for now, like what the sort of role that leaders have to play now, you know, your therapist, your coach, your mentor, your, you know, friend, your parents, like there's so many things now. Whereas before it was just, hey, you know,
I'm going to tell you what to do and you do
I'm going to tell you what to do. Right. And like people didn't really push back, but now it's like, no, why?
Yeah.
And I like it. I like mm-hmm. where we're at right now, you know, in the world. I think that it's more exciting. Like we are sort of co-creating something, yes. you know, we're doing something together and we're seeing this vision. We're moving towards something together.
Forced to grow, right?
We are. I think we are. Yeah. We're being forced to grow, but then again, it's still a choice. People sometimes will choose to be stuck into that mentality of like, oh, it's everybody else.
Right.
And, you know, it's their fault, or rather than looking within and just say, what can I do?
What can I do? That's kind of where it all goes back to, right? What can always I do? Go
back. It always goes back to oneself. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Ah, I love it. So philosophical.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. What do you think, Colleen? What are your favorite leadership books or leadership books that have really influenced you?
Ooh, I'll say my favorite right now is Radical Candor.
Oh yeah.
And I love the way Kim Scott puts everything. And I also, this is weird, but I love her voice.
Oh, like,
so
to
I
it?
Listen to audiobooks because I live out of town, so I drive in. So I listen to her and I really can feel her passion when she's talking about it. And it really is a book for leaders who lead leaders.
Yeah.
Or like managers who lead people that lead as well. So it's a great point of view. It's not just how can you be a great leader, but also how can you create and help grow other great leaders.
Yeah. How do you provide feedback in a way that mm-hmm. is heard? Yeah. I love that book too. It's a good one. And I think everyone as a leader, you know, you need to know how to provide feedback. And that's a big, you know, that's another thing we could talk about with leadership is just the fear that people have in communication or in coaching people. And it's like, if it's not you, like if you're the leader, if not you, then who?
Who?
Like who's going to mm-hmm. sort of guide someone or mentor someone? If you're not the one who's going to deliver constructive feedback, like areas where people can grow.
Who's going to do it?
Then who's going to do it?
And one of the cool parts of the book, and I just thought of this now and remembered it, is how you can start by asking your team to give you feedback.
Right.
So you're like inviting feedback from your team. So it's great practice for them. They're not just giving it to you because a lot of times team members are kind of nervous to do that, right?
Right.
So you're opening the door saying, I want you to give me feedback.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah. And and if you do that and you get feedback, you can't flip off the handle
yes.
and be like, how dare you?
Yes.
Or, you know, you have to really make sure. Sometimes leaders have a hard time saying, okay, give me feedback. Or leaders can say that, but then the people that they lead sometimes have a hard time giving the feedback. So it's nice also to give direction on like, give me feedback around this.
Yep.
Hey, I'm trying to become a better listener. Can you provide me some feedback or mm-hmm. some, you know, feed forward how I might be able to do that? Or I'm trying to be more organized or, you know, more present or whatever it is. Like if a leader does say that, then sometimes you'll get a little bit more specific.
Right. And feedback. Find something in that feedback they give you. Even if you may inside not agree with everything, you need to find something in that you can really show them then that you haven't just listened to them and not done anything, something that you've actually taken action on. Yeah. And in that case, they'll probably realize, hey, maybe I can take feedback too. It's not so bad. So it goes both ways.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's your favorite book?
Oh my gosh. There's so many. Right now, I think probably one of the most instrumental man, there's two probably. Dare to Lead, I think Brené Brown.
Yes, love that.
I just love the way she writes because it's so simple and I think mm-hmm. it's accessible for everybody. Mm-hmm. And some great, you know, pieces of wisdom. But I think The Fifth Discipline, which is an old book and it's all about creating a learning organization. So it's not even actually leadership. Like it is leadership, but I think it's The Fifth Discipline, Peter Senge. And he just talks about, you know, people's mental models, you know, why we do the things we do, how do we lead others? Like,
interesting.
It's a great book.
I have to put that in the next.
Constantly go back to it. It's one of those books that I'm sure
highlights
the first time I read
and
it.
Pages flipped.
Yeah, I think I read it first like 20, 25 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And there's other editions now. But when I first read it, I was like, oh man, like it's pretty heady, but there are some really great pieces in it. And then I read it again. I think I just read it again. The last time I read it was about a year ago. And I was like, oh man, I missed all these things. The first like four times I read it. So there's always something in there. Like, yeah, it's about how to create a learning organization.
That's really cool. We can put those like in the links as well.
Yep.
So people can purchase those books.
Yeah. There's so many great ones out there.
We'll have to create like a list.
Yeah, resource list. I think
resource
that's
list. I love We're going to do that. Okay. And then we'll make a podcast episode just on all the books that we love.
All the resources. I love it.
Awesome. Great.
Okay. Final words. Like, what do you think anyone who's out there, salon owner who's out there listening, what advice would you give them to develop their own leadership? What's the first thing that they could do?
Oh, I mean, as we've gone back to a million times, like, take a look at yourself. What could you do better? What could you work on? Start with that before you look at your team, because your team's going to be looking at you.
Yeah. Nice.
How about you?
That's a good one.
Top that.
Let's see. Advice. Yeah. Know that it's okay to make a mistake. Mm. Like, there is no right or wrong. There's not a perfect way or a right way to do something. It's just, if something didn't work, that's okay. You just try something else, you know? Just so let go of that perfectionism. Know that it's okay to make mistakes. That's, you know, make that safe to do it. So yeah.
I love that. Nice. That's a good one too.
Thanks, Colleen. Oh, well. Super fun having a conversation with you. Appreciate
yes. it. Thanks for being with me on this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Please leave a review, share with your friends, and tune in for our next episode. We appreciate you.